This is a gentleman that does leather working. So, you know, it's a guy that once could see and now he doesn't see so well. He does some things non-visual, some things low vision wise. So Jack, tell us what you do, how you go about it, and just how you make it work.
My name is Jack Rupert, and I live in Minnesota, and I've been doing I've been doing leather work for a little over 10 years. When I got started doing leather work at the VA's Blind Rehabilitation Center in Chicago, Illinois. However, I did have a taste of it, of doing some stuff when I was in high school and junior high. So it was kind of a re-education for me. But basically, I buy pre-cut materials from a company called, I'll remember in a minute. Just bear with me.
It's okay.
I'll remember. But anyway, I buy my materials pre-cut, and currently I'm working on a clutch that's designed to be room for a regular size iPhone, as well as having places for identification and credit cards and a slot to put money in. And so I am currently working on that. And it is a very small holes. And this takes a lot of touch and feel for me to do. The lace that I'm using on this is a pretty fine thread. And not only am I visually impaired, I have Parkinson's disease, and I also have neuropathy. My touch isn't as good as it used to be a few years ago, but I could still make out the lace, and I always pull my lace and try to get it straightened out so it's nice and smooth. And I get back to my needle, and then of course I have to find the hole, which I'm going to go into. And so sometimes that's a little easier said than done. So then I find that through feel, I find the hole, and I use the backside of my hand to hold on to the material. So I'm holding it in with the hole that I'm going to go to at the end of my finger. And that gives me a guide to go by for feel. I also have a magnifier that's a desktop, and I probably have more usable vision than some people do that are considered low vision, legally blind, but I don't have any peripheral vision, so I don't see a very wide space at a time. But I do have a magnifying system that I can use, and it's made by Acer, and it's the magnifier sets on an arm up above your head. If you could imagine sitting at a table, this arm sitting up above you, and then you can with a control keyboard you can adjust the focus on it so that you can see your project. And I use that a lot of times when I'm transferring a pattern or something. And so I mentioned transferring a pattern, and I use mostly plastic laminated patterns. And in order to transfer them onto the leather, you have to wetten the leather down. And of course, that can be a real touch and feel thing. So you really have to use that sense of where you're at so that you can line it up on your leather the way you'd like to have it. I make wallets, purses, belt. I do special order projects. Like I've made a special hatchet cover, big axe cover for the Boy Scouts. I had a gentleman that wanted some over-the-shoulder holster made, and we made them, we cut them out of leather using paper patterns that we downloaded from the computer, and I had my wife assist me with some of that, and cutting them out. Use a rotary cutter, works great for cutting that leather out. And so I made two sets of those for a gentleman here about a year ago. I also buy some pre-cut belts that have designs in them, pre-cut, and they run them through a cutting machine at the factory, and then they sell us the blank, the pre-cut. And
say, Jack, I've got a question, because one time you told me that to line up some of the patterns that you're going to do, you make use of a click rule, and you even lay down some guides, I think, like with masking tape. How's that go?
Yes, I do. What I do is when I get my leather and I find out where I want to put the pattern at, I take the pattern and take some masking tape and or some clear packaging tape, either one. Actually, the clear packaging tape probably works better because it sticks to something wet, where masking tape does not want to stick to the wet leather as well. And I can tape that down in the place that I want it. That way I can press in the pattern. And I have a small... would be like a rolling pin, except it's got a handle on it. Instead of being rolling with two handles on it, it's made longer, and one end is wide and one end is narrower. And so I use that to roll over the top of the pattern that's embossed in this plastic sheeting, and that transfers the pattern onto it. And then what was the other thing that you asked me there?
So to make sure that pattern is put on the leather, so that you have to do some measurements so that you make sure you get it on there evenly.
I have a blind ruler, a 12-inch ruler that I have, that has everything marked in Braille. Even though I don't read Braille, per se, I can tell by feeling, the raised letter, what it is, and then I can reach out to see where I marked it. And I just lay that on the edge of the leather, and then I feel where I want to, need to mark it at. And I have a special pencil that marks on the leather that doesn't leave a mark. It leaves a white mark when you apply it. But when you go to stain it and stuff, it disappears. So that's the way I line it up, is measuring from the edge of the leather, and so that's what I do. I fortunately, as a disabled veteran, I've had access maybe to some tools and equipment that some people in the community wouldn't have access to unless you had a lot of money, because the Veterans Administration is very, very good about making sure I have the equipment that I need to
Well, for you guys and ladies that have
pardon me,
for you gentlemen and for the ladies that have been in our military service, we definitely appreciate that time, effort, and it's great that our government is there to provide some rehabilitation for the blinded veterans. So that is really a good deal. Are there any other special tools that you use? Because I know you, again, that was great to tell us about how you do some of your measuring to put those templates down.
A Ruby magnifier.
A smaller handheld
Scientific.
Okay.
And it has a handle on it, so you can adjust it, but you can turn it on and you can actually take a picture of what you're doing. And so that allows you to maybe follow in line with what you're doing, or if you're in the process of carving, and that's something I didn't talk about yet. Carving the pattern out, and basically you use a metal tool that has a point on the end of it called a stylus, and which if you've done the old-fashioned computer work, you may have used a stylus to punch the holes out in to make the pattern. Okay, and maybe if you're older, and I think the Braille used to be done that way too.
Oh yes, you're right. Slate stylus.
Long before my time.
Hey, Jack, some of us still use it. Come on.
Yeah. Well, okay. But anyway, so I use the stylus, and I feel that pattern that I've put on with the use of the pattern and the wet leather and so forth. Now I'm going to carve that pattern into the leather. And I start out with a stylus and I go all the way around the pattern. And I use my touch, to make sure I stay in the marks, that are there. And, then there's one that has a ball end on it, stylus. And I use that then to, increase the width and the dimension of what I've carved into the leather. And then there's also a tool that can be used that has a 45 degree angle on it. One end is wider than the other, and you can use that to trace out the pattern if you want to get that pattern to lay out into the leather. Really, when it comes to carving and getting the pattern on, a lot of it gets to be what your imagination would be. Because if you got a flower or something there that you're trying to put in, you have to use some imagination, because obviously if you have low vision, you're going to have a hard time seeing it. And that's where the magnification equipment comes in the most. That works for that really well too.
You've told me that some of these kits that you buy, you definitely end up making them better than, you know, what the manufacturer, you know, had in mind, because you, again, used your creativity and your skills to, you know, enhance that product.
Yes. That's true. I've participated. The Veterans Administration has a art and craft competition every year. And I participated in that several years. And I have gotten a couple blue ribbons and a couple red ribbons.
Excellent.
A couple third place ribbons. But it's a challenge to make something that you haven't already sent once for. I do also participate in our local county fair, where they take projects that are done by you know, quilters or leather workers or woodworkers or thing. And so I haven't gotten any championships, but I've gotten some blue ribbons from there. And I participate in craft shows and sell my products through craft shows.
Really appreciate the fact that you came here and shared all this with us today, because you're still making it work.
I'm glad to share it. I hope that everybody has got something out of what I said, and I managed to make some sense out of it.